This morning, we're continuing our series from the book of Jonah. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking deeply at the book of Jonah and just learning together about the will of God, about responding to the will of God and responding to God's voice in our life. The book of Jonah is a fascinating story. It's a real life story of a man who learned to say yes to God even when he didn't want to. You know, as we think about the will of God and we think about responding to the voice of God, there's a lot of questions that come to mind. I mean, it can seem really simple. It can seem really easy. God says, do something, and I just do it. And that seems simple enough, but there's some questions like, what do I do when God asks me to do something that I don't really want to do? What do I do when God asks me to do something that's inconvenient or something that that upsets me? What do I do when God asks me to do something that sort of violates my idea of right and wrong and my idea of what I should do or how I should do it? How do I respond? How do I respond when God asks me to do something and I'm not obedient to what he asks me to do, and yet I realize that there are some consequences to those actions or those choices or those decisions? As we've been going through the book of Jonah, we have learned so far a really powerful concept, and that is this: even when we are fighting against him, God is fighting for us. Again, that sounds like a simple concept, but many of us have a hard time internalizing it because many of us treat our relationship with God like we would treat our relationship with other people. And what we believe about other people is what fundamentally we believe about ourselves and how we're wired, our sort of fight or flight mechanism that exists in our brain, that if we are threatened, then we either fight or we run away. And so because that's how we are wired, we expect God to be wired that way. And so we expect that when I disappoint God or I disagree with God or I disobey God, that somehow or another he's either going to fight me or he's going to abandon me. And yet what scripture teaches us, what the book of Jonah teaches us, is that's not God's response at all. When we are fighting against him, when we are resisting him, he still loves us. He's still coming after us. He still is fighting for us. We're going to pick up on this series by looking at Jonah chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 to you. It says this: Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. Think about that for a moment. One of the questions that I often get from people is, Pastor, what do I do when I feel like I have missed the will of God? In other words, God has asked me to do something and I said no, or I went another direction. One of the conversations, and I promise you, over many, many years of ministry, I've had this conversation over and over and over again. It's this idea of I've missed the will of God, and so my life is over. One of the things I love about the book of Jonah is that it demonstrates to us that even though you and I may say no at times, even though you and I may go the opposite direction of where God is calling us or what he's calling us to, that God, the God of the Bible, the story of Scripture, repeats the concept over and over again. God is a God of second chances. He's not just a God of second chances, but third, fourth, fifth, etc. God continues to call us back to the path that he's created for us. And even though Jonah had been rebellious, even though Jonah had been stubborn, even though Jonah said, I'm going to do it my own way, Jonah came to that place of repentance in the belly of a great fish, The fish vomited him out onto dry land. And once again, God's consistent voice comes back to him and says, Jonah, here is what I want you to do. The good news for every one of us in this place this morning is as resistant as we may be, as stubborn as we may be, as often as we may say no or go the opposite direction, God is still there giving us second chances. He's still there calling us back to the path he has for us. In verse 10, it says, when God saw what they had, what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring destruction on them that he had threatened. In other words, Jonah went to Nineveh. He preached the gospel to Nineveh. When he preached the gospel to Nineveh, the people responded to God. They repented. And when they repented, God forgave them and didn't bring destruction up on Nineveh. See, obedience, this is what I want you to see this morning. Obedience is not the trigger to God's love. It is the threshold to our enjoyment of the benefits of his love. Now, that's a mouthful, but it really is a powerful concept that we learn from the book of Jonah, that we need to get into our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirits. Because many of us sort of live with this idea, as I said in the introduction, many of us live with this idea that somehow or another God withholds his love or he gives his love based on our obedience. And that's not at all what Scripture teaches us. God loves us regardless of our obedience. But we've bought into a false narrative about love. We believe that love is agreement. I mean, in our culture today, much of the tension that exists in our world is this idea that if you don't agree with me, then you must not love me. If you don't affirm me and what I'm doing and my choices and my decisions, you must not love me. And because that's become our world's view of love, again, we project that image on God. And so we think that if I'm obedient, then it triggers God's love. But the idea of Scripture is not that at all. The idea of Scripture is that God loves us regardless of our obedience, and the blessing of our obedience is available to us because God loves us consistently. See, the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that God demonstrated love for us even when we were rebellious toward him. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, God's love was demonstrated to us in that Christ died for our sins. Love isn't withheld based on how we respond. Love exists regardless of what we do. It's like a doorway. We either choose to walk through that doorway of obedience or we choose to go the other direction. But his love is consistent. His blessing is consistent. All of those things are available to us whether we choose them or not. Think about that for a moment. It's an issue of our choice. It's an issue of our choice. When we are choosing to be disobedient, we are choosing to walk away from the benefits of his love. We are choosing to walk out from under the covering of his love, which is his blessing. God loves us regardless of our agreement. God loves us regardless of what our choices or our decisions may be. The Bible says, on the other hand, the way that we demonstrate our love for God, according to Jesus in John chapter 14, is that we respond in obedience to the direction of his life. See, when we love him in return for his free love that is a gift to us, and we're obedient to him, then we step into the blessing and the covering of his love, or we step into the covering of his love, which is his blessing. God's love, his blessing is constant. Our choice is to either cooperate through obedience or to not cooperate through disobedience. And whether we choose to cooperate with his love or not cooperate with his love determines whether or not we are living and choosing his blessing or willfully embracing destruction. See, that's the pattern that you see, the interesting pattern that you see over and over and over again. The commentary that sort of exists in the book of Jonah is that you have Jonah who was a Hebrew. He knew God. He knew the law. He knew about God. And yet he willfully chose destruction repeatedly. Then you have the people on the boat who didn't know God. They weren't Hebrews. They were involved in idol worship. They didn't know God. They didn't have relationship with God. But when they saw God for who he was, they surrendered to their will and they chose love. They chose peace. Then you have the Ninevites who on the one hand are rejecting God, doing things their own way, living in all kinds of immorality. And when the message comes to them, the Ninevites, what do? They respond by surrendering to God. And therefore, instead of moving toward destruction, they move towards reconciliation in life. And then we see Jonah. Let's keep reading. Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Think about this for a moment. On the one hand, you have the Ninevites who hear God, hear God's correction, hear God's desire for a new direction for their life and respond in obedience. These are people who didn't know God. And on the other hand, you have Jonah. Jonah is this guy who's a Hebrew, who has some understanding of God, his ways, his laws, his path. God calls him to something, says no, and so he ends up drowning, almost dying, being swallowed by a fish, and in that place saying, "You know what, God, you're God and I'm not. I surrender myself to you. I remember your temple. I remember your presence. I remember what it's like to be in right relationship with you, to walk in your blessing. And so I choose your blessing over destruction. I choose your blessing over Sheol." Remember that. You have Jonah who has that experience, and so he obeys God. He goes to Nineveh. He preaches. And then guess what happens? As the Ninevites respond, it sparks something inside of Jonah. See, the alignment of our heart is exposed by our response to God's request. Jonah became angry because the Ninevites did exactly what he thought they would do, and God did exactly what he thought he would do. God offered grace. He offered mercy to the Ninevites, and they took him up on that grace and that mercy. But in Jonah's heart, he still wanted the Ninevites to experience destruction. See, Jonah's will may have bent to God in the belly of a great fish, but his heart was still full of anger. His heart was still full of hatred. His heart was still racist and biased and against the Ninevites. They were still his enemy. I want to show you something. Following the will of God, obedience to God, isn't a one-time event. Obedience to the will of God is a process. You don't achieve obedience through one choice or one decision. Obedience is something that you have to do every day. It's a process. See, the reason that the book of Jonah can be confusing is that we don't allow within the story that this man is actually a man, a real life man, who really is in the process of surrendering his life to God. We don't give to Jonah the very grace that we want for ourselves. How many of you have ever struggled with the will of God? Yeah. How many of you have struggled repeatedly with the will of God? See, I want to let you in on a secret. Pastor Randy has to say yes every day. I have to say yes to the will of God every day. It's not a one-time event. My heart still struggles with stuff. Even though Jonah had, even though he knew God, even though he was a Hebrew, even though he knew the law, even though he had had supernatural experiences, his heart was still in process of surrender. What I want you to know, North Place Church, is that you and I are people who are in process. Obedience isn't a one-time event. It's going to be a process of surrendering our heart to the Lord over and over and over again. And just like Jonah, it's quite possible that you and I are going to act out over and over and over again. We may bend our will to God. We move a little further in the process, and God shows up and he does what he's going to do. And once again, it's going to offend us. Once again, it's going to inconvenience us. Once again, it's not going to be what we necessarily want. And we will find ourselves once again getting mad at God, going up to the side of a hill and setting down and throwing a temper tantrum. And that's exactly what Jonah was doing. And every one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we understand that we can behave just like Jonah. That shouldn't wound us this morning. It should liberate us, because I believe there are some of us who live with a certain amount of guilt and shame over the fact that we are in process. But we should understand these heroes from Scripture were people who were in process as well. See, Jonah's heart was still bent on a path towards accusation. He still said, God, the Ninevites do not deserve mercy. They do not deserve grace. See, we understand, we know from our recent study in the book of Job who the accuser of the brethren were. You remember the enemy who went before God and accused Job. We know from Revelation chapter 12 who the accuser is. I want to show you something. This is lowering the plow of your theology a little bit, but I want to show you something. You and I have a sin nature, we have a broken sin nature, and then we have a redeemed nature in Christ Jesus. And the process that we are going through as Christ followers is seeing that sin nature be removed, seeing that sin nature being extinguished from our life and growing to become more like Jesus. And oftentimes in our process, we are still participating in our sin nature, the nature of the enemy, the nature of the accuser. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. I take you there always over and over again. The nature of the accuser, the nature who's looking to blame others, accuse others, show the fault in others, show that others don't deserve what they have, shouldn't get what they have, and you should deserve more. That's the heart of the accuser. It was the heart that Jonah was struggling with. But God was trying to produce within Jonah a heart of compassion, a heart of love, a heart of mercy, a heart that saw other people the way that he saw other people. We have to ask ourselves the question over and over and over again. Is my heart demonstrating the heart of the accuser? Am I participating in my sin nature, which is broken and offended? Am I participating in my sin nature, which sees the worst in others and only desires the best for myself? Let's keep reading in Jonah chapter 4, verses 6 through 11. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. I am angry enough to die. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? It's fascinating, again, as you look at Jonah's response to his circumstance and his situation. You see, tying my obedience to my happiness causes me to make short-sighted decisions. It causes me to move in my life in ways that are for short-sighted gains or for my own self. And really what it boils down to is perspective. See, Jonah's petulance came from a lack of perspective. He went to that hillside and he said, you know what, this is terrible, and I want to die. I'm so angry. I hate these Ninevites. I don't want them to live. I don't want them to receive mercy and grace. They don't deserve this. He was demonstrating the heart of the accuser. His heart still hadn't been completely transformed. And in that moment, God sends a vine. The vine grows up overnight. Jonah says, yes, I'm comfortable. I feel good about it. And then God causes the vine to die. And once again, Jonah is challenged. He becomes angry. I'm so angry, I want to die. And God says, Jonah, why are you so angry? Do you really have the right to be so angry about this? You didn't create it. You didn't make it to grow. You didn't make it to die. See, what I find fascinating in my life is that oftentimes I make choices and I make decisions about what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it, what I'm going to be passionate about, what I'm going to spend my life on, over things that I have no sovereignty over. I spend my life passionate about things that I have no sovereignty over. And yet from this place, Jonah was claiming authority and right over the Ninevites carelessly and over a vine that he did not create. See, in our life, as we learn to walk out obedience, one of the things that we have to learn, one of the things that we have to understand, is that he is God and we are not. And when we put ourselves in the place of the judge, when we put ourselves in the place of claiming sovereignty over those things which we cannot control, which we did not create, which we cannot give life to, and we cannot give death to, we are putting ourselves in a place outside of God's love, not just for us, but his love for others. Jonah says, I want to die. See, anything that drives me to the place where I would choose death is outside of the will of God. The kingdom of God always leads to life. The kingdom of the enemy always leads to death. There is this epic parallel in the book of Jonah that I just feel that we miss so much. There's this epic parallel between the sin nature, the kingdom of darkness, and the God nature, the kingdom of life, the kingdom of God. God says, Jonah, I want to bring life to you. I want to bring life to the Ninevites. Jonah keeps coming back to the place where he chooses death. Question I believe the Holy Spirit is asking you and I this morning is, what in our life do we keep choosing death over? What do we keep claiming sovereignty over that we have no control? 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Bible says this, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. This epic parallel that exists in the book of Jonah is between that of the heart of the accuser and that of the heart of the advocate. The Bible teaches us that we have an advocate who stands at the right hand of the Father, interceding on behalf of us. We must ask ourselves a question this morning as I am pursuing the will of God, as I'm living my life, as I'm making choices and decisions, is my heart demonstrating the heart of the accuser, or is my heart demonstrating the heart of the advocate? And friend, no matter who you are or where you come from, no matter how you came to this place this morning, Here's what you and I can both know. No matter how many times I've said no and ended up in the belly of Sheol, you have an advocate with the Father. And unlike the enemy of your soul who stands ready to accuse you over and over and over again, and unlike my sin nature which chooses to accuse over and over and over again, and unlike my sin nature which chooses to try to take sovereignty over that which I have no authority because I did not create it and I cannot destroy it, Father God loves you and he cares about you and he stands ready to release his love and his blessing in your life if you and I simply choose to surrender. And oh, I know it's easy to say, I surrender to go to Nineveh, but when I get there, do I surrender my heart to love those people as he loved him? Every day obedience leads me to every day blessing. Can I pray for you, Father? I thank you so much for each one of these friends who are with us today. I thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit that you are doing in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for how you are growing us. I thank you for how you're maturing us. I thank you for how you are developing us. Father, I pray for every person that is listening today online or that is here with us in service. I pray for those who may be far from you, who may have no relationship with you. I pray, Lord, that the gospel message would be clear to them this morning and the Holy Spirit would draw them to their loving Father, because Jesus, you have made intercession for them. You've paid the price on the cross for their sin. Lord, we don't have to choose destruction. And God, I also pray for everyone who is watching or listening or here today, who also, though they may be in relationship, though they may know you, they may have gone to Nineveh, they may have preached the message, but somewhere in their heart, somewhere in my soul, I've chosen to go up on a hillside, fold my arms, wag my finger at you and wag my finger at the city and take sovereignty over things that I did not create and therefore cannot control. Claim sovereignty over areas of my life. Choose offense and accusation. Over things that really, Lord, are not my choice. They're not my decision. Lord, I pray for every person that is watching or listening or here today who may be followers of you. I pray, God, that you would teach us by your Spirit to live in everyday obedience. Every choice, every decision, every part of my heart surrendered to you. How do I know the parts that aren't surrendered to you? The places where I get offended that I have no business being offended. The places where I claim sovereignty that I really have no right to claim sovereignty. The places that make me angry. Angry enough to die. Angry enough to choose death. Holy Spirit, reveal those places in my heart so that I can live in everyday obedience and everyday blessing under the umbrella of the benefits of your love. Father, I pray for every person now. Teach us, Holy Spirit. Bring us to that place. In Jesus' name, amen. I've said this every week since we've sort of been in this stage of response here in our nation in South Africa. We were not allowed to have prayer time, response time up around the front where we lay hands on people and pray for them. If the Lord was speaking to you today about any one of these areas and you need prayer or you need counsel about that area, please don't leave today before you've connected with one of our pastoral team. We would love nothing more than to counsel with you, minister to you, and help you respond to what you sense the Lord is doing.